Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. The newspapers these days carry more and more frequent reports of China's newfound interest in the sea. For example, recently, two Chinese coastal patrol vessels were dispatched to a group of small, uninhabited islands south of Okinawa to assert, according to the New China News Agency, that country's, quote, sovereignty, unquote, in a dispute with Japan. Known as Diu in Chinese and Sengaku in Japanese, these islands have long been administered by Japan. Indeed, several of them are privately owned by Japanese investors who announced recently that they were transferring ownership officially to the Japanese government, the apparent provocation for the Chinese response. Such sensitivities are evident in additional conflicts between China and the Philippines, Taiwan, Vietnam, and the United States, which is increasingly concerned with the maritime ambitions of China as expressed through its rapid buildup of naval forces with capacity far beyond simple coastal protection. If you look at each situation closely, you will probably find each territorial aspiration linked less to sovereignty and more to the protection of China's trade or the extension of China's exclusive economic zone and its authority over underwater resources such as fertile fishing grounds, minerals, oil, and gas. China's mercantile reach is everywhere. It is a major factor in global trade with the United States and Europe. International monetary activity and debt financing, and geopolitical and social impacts of its economic incursion into Africa, India, and South America, with its ever-growing need for export supply of its manufactured goods and import demand for fossil fuel and raw materials in excess of its own inventory. Its paradoxical posturing as a, quote, developing economy, unquote, while becoming the second largest economic engine in the world, does not conceal its insatiable appetite for commercial relationships in every corner of the earth. Almost all of this exchange is transported physically by ship, and successful passage depends on several geographical places: the Straits of Hormuz, the Suez Canal, the Panama Canal, and the Malacca Strait near Singapore, narrows that might be highly vulnerable to physical and political forces not always within China's control. About 4/5 of China's energy imports, for example, must pass through Malacca. Imagine what it would mean if for some reason that seaway was inhibited or closed. Thus, according to an article in a recent Economist magazine, China has shown an aggressive interest in what is called the Northern Sea Route above Russia and its North American counterpart, the Northwest Passage. Recently, global warming, a function of our changing climate, has increased polar melt to permit large ship passage during the summer months. In 2010, only 4 ships used the Northern Sea Route. This year, 34 passed through. Increasing temperature, continuing polar melt, sea level rise, and other changing climate conditions are contributors to increasing access to a transportation route that will reduce the voyage from Shanghai to Hamburg by 4,000 miles. This is more than an idle speculation and suggests the saving of real time and real cost. As reported in the UK Guardian in September, the European Space Agency's satellite observations have confirmed long-standing predictions by the Polar Science Center that the rate of loss of Arctic sea ice is, quote, 50% higher than most scenarios outlined by polar scientists, and suggests that global warming, triggered by rising greenhouse gas emissions, is beginning to have a major impact on the region, unquote, suggesting further that if the current annual loss continues, summer ice coverage could disappear completely by 2016. This may explain why China is contributing heavily to Arctic research and has applied for permanent observer status in the Arctic Council, the intergovernmental forum that facilitates the Arctic policy discussion. I've conducted my own informal poll about this situation in the aisles of a local Walmart store, where I randomly asked shoppers where they think much of the stuff on the shelves comes from. They typically respond, China. But when I ask how did it get there, they typically do not understand the vast complexity and urgency of the maritime transportation system that supports the global distribution of Chinese goods. These American customers may not be aware, nor perhaps are the Chinese workers, but both governments are. And therein lies the motivation for diplomatic negotiations, geopolitical concerns, and even the threatening deployment of ships in faraway places as China claims a new relationship with the sea. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory. Visit us online at worldoceanobservatory.org. World Ocean Radio is produced in association with WERU Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.